get nervous. But they have been studying the places in the Bible, and they've been stamping a passport, and they've been going and traveling in their Sunday school to the different places of the Bible, and today they're going to Egypt. They're going to get their passport stamped that they've been to Egypt. And they'll learn about Jesus back there. But I believe that they'll learn about the move and the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit in here. Amen? I don't want our kids to wait till they're adults to come in to find out what we do in service. Hallelujah, because it's not an adult thing. You watch and see if your kids don't get them songs stuck in their head, and when you get home today, they're singing them in the back seat of the car. Or they're singing them somewhere. You know, because that's what's in them. And when that just replays itself in you, and that keeps going over and over in your head and over in your spirit. How many know that's the sound of worship that Beth was talking about? Worship doesn't stop. We didn't stop worship. We took a moment in the midst of worship of what's happening in the heavens to just declare verbally what God wants to declare and say to us today. Amen? Hallelujah. But I believe worship is one of our most powerful things as a believer and as the saints and Christians of God. I believe that worship is the way that we not only bless the Lord, but we open an avenue for the Lord to bless us. How many know it's in an atmosphere of worship that the Lord begins to speak to me? He already said some things to me this morning while I was worshiping, some things I'm going to put in action because I prepared my heart to hear what he wants to say, right? And so when we come into that atmosphere, we come into that presence and we allow the Lord to move and worship, he moves on us from the littlest to the greatest, to the biggest, right? And so I love that. So I'm so thankful you're here today. I'm so thankful you chose to worship with us. I don't take that lightly. Hallelujah. But I'm thankful for this house and for this church and for this people. Yeah. I thank you for your giving. I thank you for your serving. And I thank you for your heart to touch not only this community, but the nations of the earth. And so we honor you today. How many remember what your lesson was on last Sunday? Momentum. We talked about momentum. Momentum is a forward movement. It's what mass times velocity. It's the power of movement. It's a power of motion, right? We talked about sled riding. We talked about a train that starts slow, but it builds momentum. We talked about the power of momentum. And I feel like the word that the Lord spoke to me for this house this year in 2023 is momentum, movement. It all goes together. I feel like God is enlarging our tents. I feel like we are on a path of building momentum, building. We got some things that we're praying about, some things we're working about that we're going to incorporate in the house even for this year that we talked about with our volunteers and our staff back there last Sunday. I believe God is on the move. Amen. I believe God's always been on the move. It's us that's not moving, right? Hallelujah. But how many know momentum is something that builds? You got to build momentum, right? And you got to start somewhere. We talked last week about you just got to put one foot in front of the other sometimes. My dad was a great visionary, and he was always wanting to do something. He'd just start. We might not always have the end plan, but we'd have a beginning. We'd have a place to start. And, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of starting and then allowing God to provide the next step for you. You know, I'm all about planning. I'm all about what the end result is. But sometimes you just got to put a step in the right direction and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you as I step out in faith. I'm going to step out in faith, and I trust you to do what you said that you would do. Amen? And so we talked about the power of momentum. We talked about the four leprous men, right, who sat outside of the city. There were four leprous men who sat outside of the city in a time of famine. And they began to talk one to another and said to themselves, why sit we here until we die? If we get up, if we stay here, we're going to die. Yep. If we go back to where we were, there's a famine in the land, we're going to die. If we get up and go into the city, we could die or we could live. Amen? And so they get up from the gate of the city and they go into the city and find out that God has provided in the city everything that they needed. But for lack of getting up with some momentum and going in, they were starving. And so they get up and they go into the city and they find food. But what else did they find? What was it? Silver and gold? How many know silver and gold is of no use to you if there's no food to buy with it? You can have all the silver and gold you want, right? How many know the first thing they needed was to eat and drink to sustain them? The gold will come later. And then they said, how can we just do this ourselves when the whole city needs what's been provided? I mean, there's a city that sits outside of the camp, I believe even today, hungry and dying and leprous and waiting for provision that has already been provided for them at the cross of Calvary. All you got to do is get up from where you are, put one foot in front of the other, and go into the city, because in the city there is milk and honey. There is provision for everything that you need. Hallelujah. And they said, we can't stay here and just do this for ourselves. We got to go back to the city and tell them that the Lord, that God has caused our enemy to hear the sound of horses' hooves and chariots and have caused them to flee from before us. Can I tell you today that your enemy has already heard the sound of horses' hooves and the chariots of heaven, and the provision has already been made for you in the city. You just got to get up and get it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. How many of you decided to step into it and get it today? Yeah. Beth told you already, it's not a realm you step in and out of. It's a realm that is always within us. It's always around us. It's always consuming us. It's there. It's the provision. How many know you can worship anywhere? You can worship in the shower. Some of you worship your best in the shower. Hallelujah. You can worship in your car. You believe God will talk to you on the way to work? I'll guarantee you He will. God will talk to you in your bed. He'll talk to you in your dreams. He'll find you wherever you are. Hallelujah. Because His presence is real and it's tangible and it's ever present for us. Hallelujah. So we're not going to sit on the edge of something, but we're going to step in and walk in and possess all that God has provided for us. Amen. Lynn shared a little thing on Facebook this week. You want to share that with them, Lynn, about the live stream?
They got before the pearly gates to go in, and they said, I've been watching church and from my home, so I'm, could I come in? And St. Peter said, well, since you've been watching from your TV, maybe you can just watch heaven on your video screen. You can't come in, but you can watch it on TV. I got a little hate mail over that, though.
Oh, hallelujah. It said, you might not get to watch, if you've been watching on live stream, that's all right, but you might get to watch heaven from live stream. I mean, you can sit on the outskirts of something, or you can step into all that God. I have no issues with live stream, so please don't take that wrong. It's a wonderful, powerful tool. I love presence. I love presence. How many know sometimes I believe we can sit on the edge of something, and instead of in faith stepping into it and realizing all that God has already provided for you, we wait. And we wait for God to move. And God's saying, I'm waiting for you to move. And we're waiting for God to move, and God's waiting for you to move. He's waiting for us to step out in faith. How many know faith is not always easy? Faith is not always easy. How many has God ever spoke to you or something, and through faith you had to give? Maybe God speak to you to give and say, Lord, I don't have it to give. And you gave it in faith. And God is faithful to us to give back or whatever. How many know sometimes there's things that we just say, God, I'm just going to trust you in this. I'm just going to trust you in this in faith, knowing that you got my interest, that you got my heart, that you got my future. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about the power of momentum. I want to talk about the momentum of faithfulness. Last week we talked a little bit about the momentum of obedience. How many know that when you're obedient to God and you obey God and do what he's called you to do, and you see the end results of that, how many know that gives you momentum? How many know faith will build your momentum? When you step out in faith and you see the faithfulness of God, how many know that builds your faith, builds your momentum. It'll build other people's faith around you. You know, one of the best things that, you know, we have in the church is our testimony. The testimony of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Because when we hear the faithfulness of God in people's lives, it encourages us to believe for the same thing, right?
Yep.
And so we talked about, so I want to read out of Psalms 18. This is in the New Living Translation. But it says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. You light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. In your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall or leap over a wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. You have made wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping. One of the things that the psalmist says there, you to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Now, we're reading that out of the Psalms. We're reading that from the Psalms. But how many of you can say that even when you weren't faithful, God was?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That even when you weren't faithful, God was faithful to you. He was faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises because he's a God who cannot lie. He is a faithful God. But what the psalmist is saying, through you and through the strength and the power of you, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. This translation says I can crush an army. Do we have any crushers in here today? How many of you feel like you can run through a troop and leap over a wall? Okay, all of them went to Sunday school, right? None of you guys. No leapers, no. Hallelujah. Step over it if it's not a tall wall, right? Don't matter how you get over it, just get over it, right? Baby steps, crawl under it. There you go. But how many know he's encouraging himself in the Lord? He's talking about the faithfulness of the Lord. How many know his ability to run through a troop and scale a wall has nothing to do with his ability? It has everything to do with the strength of the Lord. It has everything. But how many know when you encourage yourself in the Lord, the momentum begins to build. As God begins to show himself to you, show himself faithful, it begins to build a momentum. It begins to build a strength. And so I want to talk a little bit today about I want to parallel two different men of the scriptures. There's a lot of different places I could go, but this is where I felt like I wanted to go today.
And sometimes we forget that how important the testimony is, and you know, we do. Sometimes I feel like we put more emphasis on the prayer requests than we do the testimony of what God is doing. Sometimes in the prayer requests, and the prayer requests are important, but sometimes that tears down our faith rather than build up our faith, whereas faith comes by hearing, but when Isaiah, I think it was Isaiah, he began to see the heaven began to worship. And his lips were whoa, 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 because he was focused on what was happening around him. But the message of heaven was it's holy, holy, holy. And the more he began to hear what was happening, the more he began to hear the message of heaven, the more he began to cry himself, holy, holy, holy. When we read the book of Revelation, it says he wipes all tears from your eyes. We sometimes go, well, there's no tears then. But there has to be tears in order to wipe those tears away. But what happens is the more we focus on what's happening in heaven, which is holy, holy, holy. And like Beth said this morning, you know, the atmosphere is always there. They're always rejoicing because the atmosphere of heaven sees the end from the beginning. We sometimes are in the moment. We're caught up in the moment of sickness. We're caught up in the moment of stress of reality. We're caught up in the moment of what's happening is, you know, in our moment right here. And we forget that the message of heaven is holy, holy, holy. And when we come into an atmosphere like we did this morning in worship, we begin to hear what heaven is really saying. And it begins to change our focus, like Jamie was saying then as well. You begin to give gratitude to what God is doing. It begins to change your focus. It begins to change your heart. It begins to encourage you in the Lord. And you start seeing there is victory in the end of this. You know, when we had our church, we had a lady whose husband got a brain tumor. They were only giving him 6 months to live. And she came to me and she began to talk to me. And I said, well, you know, what you have to begin to do is he can't be in our service right now because he's recovering. He's going through all these treatments. You have to begin to speak the truth over him and speak what the word of the Lord is over him. The dude is cancer-free today and living because she began to go and began to speak about what God was doing and began to encourage. Instead of looking at this moment of, boy, it looks hopeless, she began to say, holy, holy, holy. And it began to change the atmosphere. It began to change the situation and went from a hopeless situation to one of rejoicing. And so sometimes, like you said, we just hearing what heaven is saying because it begins to encourage us and brings us out of the woe and puts us into a state of victory.
Yes. Amen. And we begin to, you know, we just say, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for how you're moving. I thank you that you already know even the need. Hallelujah. But to lift up our voice in rejoicing and praise. And as she said, it changes your mind from your temporary circumstances. How many know there are some things that are circumstances that we become so focused and consumed with them that it's hard to be able to lift up your voice? Hallelujah. But I love that, you know, I love even when you come into worship, when it's hard for you to worship, somebody beside you begins to worship and it's you get in the splash zone. I mean, sometimes it's just all right to get in the splash zone. And where people begin to speak praise over you. You know, it's important about who you even allow to speak into your life. Yeah. Whether you speak doubt or fear or division, or whether you speak hope and peace and strength and life and, you know, the goodness and favor of the Lord. We've been talking so much about favor. You know, and I begin to just, and every day, see, you know, just seeing just circumstances and areas where we see the favor of the Lord in our life. Amen? And we just begin to trust God that Dr. House tells you all the time, favor sometimes doesn't always look like favor. And even though what you're seeing may not look like favor, favor is your portion. And if you'll trust God in it, he will bring you through and illuminate and even, you know, magnify those things that are your portion. Amen?
Change what we're seeing, even the blessings of the Lord begin to build momentum and overtake us that we begin to be buried in the blessings. So it's what you're going to give momentum to sometimes. Amen. You know, changing that momentum of being buried under what we think is a too big of a problem to be overtaken, you know, but when we begin to change our focus on, you know what, but here's what God has done. Yeah. You know, God has healed Andy of cancer. God has healed John of cancer. You know, we've seen people hear a message. I was preaching one time, and I said, you know, God will give you houses you did not build, vineyards you did not plant. We say those things sometimes metaphorically, figuratively. This woman heard this that one morning, and she said, you know what? I feel like God's going to give me a house. Amen. That's what she heard. It wasn't but a couple weeks later, literally, somebody gave her a house that she did not build. She said in the back of it, was grapevines that had vineyards. So it had a vineyard that she did not plant. But she took it and said, you know, here's what the Lord is saying, and I'm going to take that, not as something figurative, but literal, and it literally happened for her. Mm-hmm. And then we began to have, the more we began to put more focus on that, we began to see a lot more of that kind of expectation, that kind of, man, the Lord's going to do something. And instead of being buried under the issues, we got buried under the blessings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's, you know, giving momentum. If you're, as you're talking this year, of building momentum. Well, what are we going to build momentum on? Are we going to build momentum on the problem? Are we going to build momentum on the blessings and what God is doing in our life? And it can change the direction of what we do, what's happening in our lives.
Amen. It's the momentum of His faithfulness.
I was meditating this week also where, you know, Asaph in Psalm 77. I was looking through Facebook, and, you know, it's almost toxic sometimes. It's like people were complaining about what they didn't like about the church, what they didn't like about their spouse, what they didn't like about their job, what they didn't like about yada, 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 you know. And I thought to myself, that scripture came to me where Asaph said, who was the chief musician? I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. And he said, then he thought God had forgotten to be gracious, had he in his tender mercy shut up his passion. But he started to shift his thinking. He said, but I'm going to remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. In other words, when I think about the right hand, I think about the Arm & Hammer bacon soda box where God rolls up his sleeve and says, what do you think about that? And he started to meditate on his goodness. And he started, and he starts saying, your way, O God, is in the sea. Your way is in the sanctuary. Your way is in the storm. He even saw, and he was really, I think, drawing some imagery from when they crossed the Red Sea. Your way is in the sea. In other words, you can make a way. Like we sang about, he's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. And it is easy. I have to remind myself of it because I can get in that complain stuff too, or just think in terms of, you know, I think even our worldview is skewed sometimes by our theologies because we talk about how bad it's getting or how bad it is. And the truth of it is we have this perspective of the few years we've lived. But we forget, you know, that just a few years ago, well, I guess one of the things that made me think about this was when I was in Montana, they took me down to where Custer made his last stand. And they were showing the literal markers where each one of these, and the pastor's wife there was Crazy Horse's direct descendant. So they were. We had some private, you know, things we could see. And I thought, when I looked at the dates on that, I thought, this is just a couple grandparents ago. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Just a couple grandparents ago. And you think about what was going on. I mean, you know, just 200 years ago, and you think about diseases that killed people, white, black death, all the kind of stuff that happened, you know, the killing that was going on, you know, even in this country and wars, World War I, World War II. And I think to myself, we think we got it bad, and we think we're in trial and tribulation when one of our two Lexuses isn't running right. We want to complain about the music, or it's too loud, it's too soft, it's like we don't like this, we don't like that. And I'm thinking, you know what? We are so full of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We just need to stop complaining and start to thank the Lord for the stuff we've got. You know, every time I get in a decent, I'm about to cry thinking about it. Every time I get in a decent car to be able to go preach somewhere, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for a good mower. I can remember coming home from trips and my mower, I'd mow 20 minutes, work on it for an hour, and I'd literally sit in front of that mower and cry. I said, Lord, you know, it would be good if I just had a good mower when I come home and at least mow my lawn, don't have to give up a whole day. I thank the Lord for a good mower. Yeah. You know, I thank the Lord. Joyce said to me one day, she said, I knew we were successful when I didn't have to take a calculator to the grocery store anymore. I'm feeling thankful here this morning. So to me, that's the kind of stuff we forget about that in the moments when it seems like whatever problems we have are so big. But look what the Lord has done.
Yeah. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. And I'm sure we could pass the microphone around all over the room today and say the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Amen. Come on. Has anybody in here got a testimony of the faithfulness of goodness of God? Hallelujah. You know, I said last week that they were in a time of famine and you know, they were not eating and we got ready to go into the city and they found the gold and silver. Don't matter how much gold and silver you got if you don't have food to buy it with. I said it was probably a time and an era where eggs were $8 a dozen, you know, $6 and $8 a dozen. Come on, somebody. And I got home from church Sunday and guess what I had on my porch step? I had a whole dozen of fresh chicken eggs on my, I said, there's provision. That's a goodness of God. They know my husband's love language. Eggs, fish, and green lima beans. If you want to bless him, and peanuts. and peanuts. You want to bless him, buddy? That's, you know, you don't have, don't buy him a steak dinner because he's not about the steak dinner. But if you want to get him a fish dinner, if you want to bring him some fresh garden eggs, come on. We like you said, we complain sometimes, even in the gas crunch and some of those kind of things. And I made up my mind that I was not going to complain over the price of gas, that I was going to put it in my tank and sit in my car and said, thank you, Lord, I had the money to do it. Come on, because all of us, and maybe you're still there. Maybe you have those areas of struggle where you're struggling. I'm going to tell you, don't limit God. That's the first thing you need to know is don't limit God. But I sat down in my car and I said, thank you, Lord, because I had the money to pay for that gas and not everybody around me does. Come on, somebody, because when you begin to, you can't whine and worship at the same time. You can't whine and worship. You can't praise and complain at the same time. But we are such a blessed people and a blessed nation that if you truly will look for the blessings all around you, you will see that you are blessed, that you are highly favored, and that the goodness of God is with you. Amen? Hallelujah.
Down me, everything, it was everything we could do to like just get through, basically pay our bills and do our stuff. And somebody gave us a $500 blessing for Christmas. And when we opened that check up, we started bawling, because it was a huge blessing for us. And it made a huge difference. But then just a couple years later, our whole situation turned around where we remembered that, and there was somebody we knew that was starting in ministry and just doing some stuff, and we did the same thing for them. And it always almost felt better to have been on the side that I had, you know, and I knew what it was like. I knew when they received that, what it was going to do for them, because I knew what that was like to need that and receive that and be a huge blessing. But there was something about God turning our situation around where we could be the blessers and be the givers that changed somebody else's situation. So you might be in that situation where you need the blessing at the moment, and that's okay. God will bless, and it feels good. But don't stay in that place, you know, let God begin. The more you begin to just give God and let him, you know, like I said, build that momentum. God changes situations, and you might be on the other side of that being the blesser, you know. And so there's something good about being the blesser, somebody giving you eggs, somebody giving you, you know. There's something good about being on the other side of that, you know, and getting there, and that happens in time.
Amen. There's a momentum that comes with that because you understand the faithfulness. And the scripture says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I grew up thinking, I just don't even get that. I know there's probably revelation to that, but I just don't even get that. Because everybody knows it's better to get, right? Especially when you're five and you know, you're looking for that blessing. And we know it's, but man, when you can't get in that opportunity where you're the giver and you know where you can sneak in those seeds of blessing and you can just minister to somebody around, it's simple. Sometimes it's paying somebody's McDonald's ticket behind you. Sometimes it's paying for gas for somebody who, you know, doesn't have gas at the pumps, or it's just being able to pay it forward sometimes. You know, it becomes a catchphrase, but man, I just grin and pay it forward and then just move on. Because I like to plant, I've told you before, I like those sneaky seeds where you just plant them here and plant them there. And then all of a sudden you come back and said, anybody ever thrown out a pumpkin or some gourds or some squash or something down in the woods? What happens? They grow. All of a sudden, there's a pumpkin vine down there. You didn't plant it. You didn't even intend to harvest it. But all of a sudden, you threw out some sneaky seed, and it took root somewhere. And God brought increase and brought produce back. So, you know, that's just like God. That's just like God to bring that about and bring the goodness and the favor of his love, his faithfulness. Amen? Is there anybody else in here who wants a test to the faithfulness of God this morning? There we go. Hey, preach, girl.
This week, well, I've been dealing with, like, my asthma. I say it's being bad. It's not, you know, it's not being good to me. So I went to the doctor. Of course, he said, you know, I possibly had the start of pneumonia, but started me on a bunch of prednisone and all that. And I was in the shower, and God just told me, hey, I'm with you during your chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the shower, and he's talking to me, and I'm like, what? So then on the way to work, I hear it on the message. Hey, you know, God's with you during your chaos. I'm like, okay, Lord. Well, I get to work, and then that day I was having problems catching my breath. I'm like, I'm not going to worry about it because, God, I know you got me. you're in the chaos of my lungs. You're going to take care of them. Well, then the next day, my dog, he ends up having a seizure. And I'm like, but there was people there for me that came outside with me to help me. And I'm like, God was even with me during the chaos of my dog's issues. And then it just made me think, God was really preparing me that week for what was going to happen in the end with my dog, you know, just telling me, hey, I'm with you. So I was already had my guard up and my faith was already there and to help me with the problems I solved. And then I went to the doctor Thursday and he said, everything's good with me.
Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Amen. Anybody else want to share something? Life preaches. Life preaches.
It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. And we use that as the negative to scare people. But really, he talks, you know, whatever you sow. If you sow kindness, you're going to get some kindness back. If you sow courtesy, you're going to get some. You can turn the atmosphere of a restaurant by how you treat a waitress.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, especially in that kind of a setting, you can change the world just literally by manifesting what you're really supposed to be. And, you know, sometimes even like when you're in a restaurant right now, I mean, they're on a shoestring trying to get anybody to work at all, and everybody just kind of growling, griping. And so, you know, in those situations, I leave a really big tip because I figure, you know what, probably everybody else is not going to tip and they're going to complain. And I've seen it bring a waitress to tears. And then we go to one in Winchester a lot, and we went there so much that they kind of – kind of were disappointed we didn't ask for coffee last night. I think they kind of I said, you know, we eat at someplace too long whenever they want to show you pictures of their kids and invite you over to the house. But it's how you treat people. You sow, you reap it back. You sow kindness, even in your home. You sow it to your boss, your family. That goes a long way.
Absolutely. Your character and your integrity speak for you. It speaks of who you are. Speaks of the favor of God. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to share something about the favor?
Like he didn't understand it. She said, she's going to pay for your things. And he goes, like this. And he had just a couple dollars and he put it back in his wallet. He said, thank you, thank you. And he kept, it was just something simple. Well, now today, I was in the grocery store this morning and I just took a couple dollars with me, which I thought I had enough. And I got to the register and I was 60 cents short. Well, the guy at the register said, you don't worry about it. I'm putting the 60 cents in. I said, oh, honey, you don't need to. I'll get the money back to you. No. He says, you've talked to me. And he said, you've said you've been praying for me. Let me do this. So, I mean, it just has a way of coming back.
Comes back on every wave, yeah. Doesn't it? Amen. Anybody else want to share the? You don't have to.
No. You don't have to. I'll hold it back here.
I wanted to say that through our marriage, my faith has not been what it should, and I'm ashamed sometimes because I've been in church all my life. He hasn't been in church. I'm supposed to be the example for him, but God has actually used him a lot to help me. So one time, a couple years ago, we had a house, and he's, you know, that you're supposed to have 3 months or 6 months to stay in the house before it's foreclosed. So he kept telling me, I think we need to start packing. I said, David, we got 6 months. They're supposed to let us here. He said, no, start packing. So we packed everything up but one room. The next morning, the realtor called up and said, I want y'all to know you have 8 hours to get out. They're locking the door. And he said, see what I told you? Sometimes when I tell you stuff, it is, you know, listen to me. And here lately, you know, he's been helping me a lot because it's like I go through life, I plan stuff, and I'm like, you know, I need to know what's next, what are we doing next. Here lately, it's been wonderful because we get out of church, and he's like, I feel like we need to go here. Or he'll just say, I need to drive somewhere, but it's going to take me a little while because I feel him to do something today, but I'm not sure what it is. So we go through the day, and it's like, oh, my, and we find someone we help, or we talk to him, or, like, he had his surgery on his nose, and a lady really wanted to know about it, and he calmed her down, and he said, don't be afraid. God will be with you. You need this surgery. And, you know, it's like we go about on Sunday. It's like it's nice because when you can actually say, hey, I can trust God. I don't have to go by a schedule all the time. And it's been nice, you know, to actually do, you know, like you're saying, help people. You don't know who you're going to help. Like when we leave here today, I got a plan what we're going to do. But you don't know if you're going to honestly do it because God has your life in his hands and he has a plan for you. And I thank God I can let go some because I'm always, you know, in a schedule. I'm always organized. You know, I thank God I can let go of that a little bit and just do what God wants you to do. And it's like, you know, and while I'm at it, I've got a big prayer request. I'm not going to mention it only to certain people. There's something coming up this summer that I really need God to help me get through because it's something with family. And I just need months to prepare. Yep. And things have got to happen better so that I can go and enjoy this event that's happening this summer. But I just can't, I don't know what to do to make the event better. So would y'all please pray for me? It's something major. I've got to go and act like I'm happy for someone, and I can't right now.
Amen. Amen.
There's conflict there, and I need to do this for somebody. And it's coming up in the summer, but I've got to have months to prepare. What does God want me to do so I can go and act like I'm supposed to act and have God do what he needs to do?
Amen. You know, the same faithfulness of God that has brought you this far and has brought you to this will bring to pass those things that we desire. It will bring to pass those things that we desire. And he not only prepares the hearts of others, he prepares our heart. You know, sometimes it's our heart where God speaks. It's our heart that God mellows. It's our heart that God changes. And I believe, I can tell you it's situation over and over again where God has moved in that very same situation. And we just trust him. Amen. We trust the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. You know, and there's sometimes, you know, I was talking with a lady this week. She said, I just don't understand why, you know, things happen the way they do. I said, we don't always need to understand. But if our focus is on God, we say, Lord, we just trust you in the middle of it. I mean, have you ever had to walk? Sometimes we have to walk through some things. But he's just as faithful when we walk through it than when he eliminates it. I mean, there's sometimes he removes the roadblock. There's sometimes we got to leap over the wall and run through the troop that we're reading before. But, you know, as I said, our scripture today was about the rewarding of the faithfulness. And I'm not going to get to my scripture today because that's okay. We already preached what we wanted to preach. But that's okay. That's the whole purpose. You know, I was thinking as Beth was sharing up there this morning in worship, she said, I feel a sweet presence in here and I don't know where to go. She is never under limitations behind that keyboard because if the Lord wants to worship the whole Sunday, we're going to worship all Sunday. If he wants to pray all Sunday, we're going to pray all Sunday. If he wants to prophesy, if he wants to preach, if he wants people to share their hearts, that's what we're going to do because it's not, when we get so locked into a box that it has to be this way or this way, we limit God. We limit God, and we think sometimes God can only speak through the apostle. God can only speak through the prophet or the great men or women of God. Man, you guys got stuff to say because it's real life working in you. It's experience, and experience will speak louder than an argument any time. I can only tell you what I know about Jesus. I can only tell you what he's been to me. I can only tell you about the times where the supernatural power of God in my life. You know, and I've shared this story before, and I don't want to belabor the point, but there's sometimes that, you know, we're constantly saying, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me, and yet we're waiting for this big audible voice that comes, booming voice that comes out of heavens, and sometimes it's a simple prod. It's just a simple encouragement. It's a simple thought like, hey, I'm going to minister here, and nobody needs to know it. May never hear anything back from, but I'm going to minister here. We never know what might happen in that moment. And you were
good. So a lot of you guys went to Africa in July with her
group that she found in college. So I'm so proud of her, but my anxiety is like through the roof. But I'm proud of her because she's obeying God and doing what he's called her to do. So we're sitting there and we're talking, and I said, so what are you guys going to be doing while you're over there? Are you going to be helping build a church or, you know, in school? And she kind of looked at me and she said, no, Mom, we're going to be going door-to-door ministry. Okay, I'm proud of her, but on the other hand, my anxiety is through the roof. But if we wouldn't have found Word of Deliverance, I don't know where we would be at this moment. And just please keep her in your prayers. While she's over there, I know she's going to be doing the work of God, and that sends goosebumps, like, all over. But keep her in prayer and keep me in prayer, because I won't hear from her for 2 weeks. So as a mother, it's just like, but her dad's like, oh, go, have fun, it'll be fun. And I'm like, yes. So I'm anxious to see what she has to say when she comes back. And I know that she's going to go over there and just preach the word of God.
Focus on. It's called foreboding joy. It's a wonderful joy what your daughter's doing, but at the same time it brings you a concern that's causing you to not enjoy that joy that God gives you. Focus on foreboding joy and ask God to not let the enemy steal your joy and your pride in your daughter. Focus on foreboding joy.
Amen. Hallelujah. With the church group, and I know what you're feeling, but I speak peace to you, peace, because she's going in the will of God, and you need not worry or fret, but just give it to God. Things will happen in her life that she's not expecting, because the same spirit that's here is the same spirit that's over there. So I speak peace to your heart.
Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen. Because God was faithful.
Yes, he was.
God was faithful.
I had to believe God for $7,000 for that trip. I did not have $7,000. But I prayed and believed God and trusted him to make the way, because I felt that it was my time. And when I came back, I gave tithes back into the church for that $7,000 that God just provided. And he used a lot of people to do it. And I just didn't sit back and wait. You know, I got in there and I did my part too. But God provided, and I paid tithes all on that amount, and it was just such a blessing. It's a trip I'll never forget. When you go over there and you see missions with babies that are nothing but HIV babies,
AIDS.
The policemen find them on the sides of the road and bring them in there, and it's very heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But God provided for those kids, and it's something to see.
The last couple weeks, I've been seeing an arrow being pulled back constantly, and I guess that prepare, like the pullback, we're being pulled back right now. Like, there's things that hold you back, there's things that keep you back, there's certain things that, you know, my finances aren't here, this isn't here, this isn't here, this isn't here. That's the pullback before the release. When that release happens, the momentum happens. When the momentum happens, you're being sent into where you're supposed to be. Yeah. So I just want to just give that little tidbit of the pullback. Just keep holding on because the momentum's about to send you forward.
Get ready for impact. I was on that way, but I was
before you get too far.
Right.
But you were saying there about, you know, sometimes we just have a feeling or we just have an inclination to say something or do something for someone, but that's why I don't talk. But when I had that little snafu that I had, and you know, things weren't going just right health-wise, the one thing that really blew my mind was that there were just so many people that I didn't even know I was on their radar that just reached out, you know, and said, I hate this. Just said, hey, we're praying for you. You know, hey, I heard about what you're going through. You know, let you know, we're thinking about you. That blew me away more than anything, you know, else. Because I couldn't imagine that many people out there knowing, even remembering who I am, you know. So for me, that was speaking firsthand for anybody who may have an inclination to reach out to someone who might be going through a little bit of something, do it. Because, you know, you never know what that means to a person. So
he's got one person who done that, contacts him every week. He's been doing this for years.
Still does.
Years. Powerful.
I'll quit talking. I can't.
Coming back here, coming around.
You took part in my stuff, but that's okay. We're building on momentum here. You guys know in 2017 I was pretty bad off. I lost the faith to live. And you all came to me. You were there. You came to speak over me. Speak over me in the hospital. Speak over me in my house. And I just didn't have the faith that I was going to make it. And I prayed to die. And each week as people came into my house to pray for me and to tell me that I was going to be healed, then I started to believe that the Lord was going to heal me. And every week, the further along I went, I focused on that. I focused on the prayers and the momentum of the faith of the people that had the faith praying for me that I would be healed. And I took that faith, and every day I had to build up enough of my own faith to try to pray for healing for myself, to get up, to walk, to take a step to the door, from the door to the stairs, from the stairs to the driveway. And if it weren't for here and the people here in this house, my pastor and all of you who prayed that to give me that faith and built that momentum up for me, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. So for that, I'm thankful for all of you. And that now inspires me to pray for others who were sick, pray for healing for others, believe that I have the ability to help heal people because of you all. So thank you for that.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why we need community.
Community. Amen. Absolutely. You want to share anything? It's right here. I'm close.
I just want to thank the Lord for when I almost get hurt and I don't. Because I do work, you know, and I was working on the garage door. It was last year, but I was putting the drive-thru in at my barbecue place, and I was taking this garage door out of this truck body, and it came down and it slammed about 2 inches from my head. And if it hit me, it would have been bad, and it didn't. And the first thing I thought was, thank you, God. I mean, you know, and he's there. And when I'm working, if I need a part or something, I look, and so that's there, you know, and he just makes life easy, and I love him for it. And,
yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So many stories. And you know, there's sometimes we walk through things and they're hard things, and we walk through them together, and we don't always get the end result of that. But the strength, the scripture says a threefold cord is not easily broken. That when we trust the Lord and then we join together in the body and the power of community, we see God move in our behalf. Sometimes we're being pulled back, as Becca said, and all your feelings, the pull. But then there's other times we feel the launch, you know, when that is projected. And Heather, when she said that, I felt like that was for you. Because there's been times that you felt like you pulled back and pulled back, and you've had a cry of your heart, and you've had things that you've cried out to the Lord for. But what I hear the Lord saying to you is the same word, joy. God wants to bring joy into your heart. There's some things you're walking through. It's a hard place and some hard things, and you've had some questions and things like that. But I just want to declare to you, the Lord is making himself real to you in a way you've not experienced before. There's some joy coming to you. There's some peace that's coming even in the midst of chaos, that God can bring a peace and cause you to be an instrument of peace and health and healing physically, emotionally, and even through your kids. God has caused them to be able to have a heart for hearing and a heart of compassion that has been a ministry even in your family and has caused peace and healing to come even in those that you're seeking the Lord for. So I just want to tell you, your time of launching is coming, babe. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The muscles. Yep. Yep. Amen. And our scripture talks about the bronze arrow today and the pulling back of that. Amen.
We need that encouragement from others. I'm sure Steph went through the same thing I did when she was sick, because it was the same for me when I was sick. I was raised in church all of our life, seen miracles, seen God do plenty of things that you could say, okay, well, you know, you should have enough faith to do that. I knew God could. I just wasn't sure he's going to do it for me. But the encouragement of others, and like Lynn said, the community and the fellowship and the encouragement builds your faith to where the grain of a mustard seed starts to become a mountainous faith that, okay, you get to a point where you think this might happen.
Holding up of the hands. Absolutely. Hallelujah. And the stories that come even in the midst of that, there's way more stories than that, that God, the favor of God that came even in the midst of those things, the healing that happened is just a powerful story.
The guy that was in our church that got healed of a brain tumor, they kept going back. He had to go back and get checked. They were giving him, you know, medicines and stuff, but they go back and she'd say, well, you know, she'd go back every week expecting to hear the miracle, but there for a while it was like, well, it hasn't grown, but it hasn't shrunk. You know, it's still there. It hasn't grown, but it hasn't shrunk. And so she said, you know, I'm praising the Lord. You know, it hasn't grown, but, you know, I was expecting, and we would just say, we just keep, you know, here, let's dwell on the fact that it hasn't grown. It hasn't grown. And then there was one day I still had the voice message saved on my phone. She called me. She said, you're the first person I want to call. And she just, like, I mean, it was just overwhelming to her. She said, it's not there. Mm-hmm. We went this morning, and it's not there. Mm-hmm. She said, it's gone. You know, this is the thing we've been praying for and believing for, and we've been waiting for this. But today, it's not there. This has happened. This is, you know, so it's the rejoicement. But sometimes it's like we're waiting on that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're thinking, well, you know, like Andy said, it's like, I don't know if God's going to do this for me. Like, I know he can do it, but is he going to do it for me? Right. And sometimes it's that holding on to it, and you think, well, it hasn't grown, but it's still there, you know. And so, but there is that time that it comes and goes, it's not there. Mm-hmm. The rejoicing has come that we've endured for the night, but now the rejoicing has come in the morning. It's not there. And so sometimes you're in the middle of those things where it seems like, is it going to happen for me? It hasn't grown, but it hasn't shrunk yet either. It's not grown, but it hasn't shrunk. But then there comes that time where you're holding on in that faith and the joy soon comes out. Like I said, I still have that message saved on my phone because it's one of those one of those moments that
pillar.
When
that's a pillar.
I
want to
look at.
Yep. Yep. When the children of Israel got ready to cross over to the Jordan and the priest stepped into the waters and the waters rolled back, they told him to go across. He said, but now I want you, everyone from every tribe, take a rock out of that Jordan and pile it up over there. And he said, well, what meaneth these things, Lord? So when your children say, what meaneth this pile of rocks? He can say, right there is the memorial. That's the moment of a turnaround where God provided a pathway, a passage, and a way through
a river that looked like we weren't going to get through. That's the moment where God piled up the pillars there. And so I say, you know, when we walk through those things, there's memorials, there's monuments along the way. You got to get a boulder on your shoulder and carry it through there with you. And it might be heavy till you get it to the other side, but one day there's going to be a generation to look at that rock and say, what's that rock there for? That's the moment where God healed the lung of my dad and put his lung back on after it was removed. And my dad died with two lungs. One of them was partially removed when he was a younger man, and they said lungs don't grow back. You can tell anybody you want that. Lungs don't grow back, do they? But he had two lungs. That's the memorial. That's the moment. That's the moment where he was delivered from alcoholism. That's the moment. How many know we all have a boulder that we can carry to the other side? That's the moment of God's faithfulness in my life. It's our reminders. It's our reminders. Yeah, we walk through some things. Sometimes we go through grief. We go through mourning. We go through loss. We suffer loss sometimes. But even in the midst of loss, I'm going to tell you, there's a peace of God that can come over you that I can't explain. There's a peace of God that can come over you that I can't explain, but I've felt it. I've experienced it. And I know God's faithful, even in the midst of loss, that he's there to provide. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. And I know that we all have stories of things that we can tell. I could go on and tell you more and more stories and of God's faithfulness. But see, I love because life preaches. I can tell you all day, but if you don't experience it for yourself, if you never encountered, if you don't believe it, if you don't hear the testimonies of others, and I know we have some in here that are facing some big decisions, and I'm just believing God and declaring the favor and thanking God for miracles. I'm thanking God for healing. I'm thanking him for the manifestation of those things. Hallelujah. But life preaches when we can stand up and say, had it not been for the grace of God, amen, had it not been for God's hand upon our life, for his favor, hallelujah, I don't know where I would be. I really don't know where I would be today. Switches. It switches. Amen. 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 Sometimes even in your need, when you give out of your need to somebody else, man, what a blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I get that now. I get that now because it means you're blessed to be in the position to be the giver and not have to be in the position of the one who needs. Amen? Nothing wrong with need. Nothing wrong with being in that position. But, man, when I get to be in the position to be a giver, man, I love it. That is the gospel in action. That's the gospel in action. So you guys preached this morning. Your life preaches. Your experience where God has taken you, man, just, Lord, build momentum in me. Build passion. Build, you know, desire. And just like, I'm not going to sit here and die. I'm going to go in and possess all that the Lord has provided for me because he has caused my enemy to hear the sound of horses' hoofs. That means my enemy has been removed from the camp, and I'm rejoicing in the bounty of what he's provided. Stand with me this morning. Our kids went to Egypt, and they think we did too. I'm just kidding you. They're in good hands. Yep, they're in good hands. I'm so thankful for those who serve in our Sunday schools and serve in our children's ministry. If you want to get involved in that, please let me know. Come to me because we always need more help and give those folks down there a break. But they're in good hands and we bless them. Hallelujah. As Beth comes to worship this morning, whether you're online today, whether you're in the service, whatever it is, I want you to just give some thanks. Amen? I just want to want you to take an opportunity to thank him. And maybe there's some things you're praying for. Just go ahead and thank him for them too. Go ahead and thank him for them too. Lord, I thank you that you're moving on my family. I thank, Lord, that you're bringing healing in this house right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that surgeries are being canceled. I thank you that healings are being manifest. I thank you that provision is being made. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for everybody that's assembled in this house this morning. It's looking good in here. I love it. Thank you, God, for faithfulness. Thank you for provision. Hallelujah. Just obey God this morning as we get ready to transition. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't tolerate fear. It contaminates your faith. There you go. Hallelujah. Do you have something you want to say here?
Like a man went and told my Jim and Jack and yep. I forget if Linda was there or not, and they said there's nothing else that we can do for him because he's done gone. So they called up my wife and told her I'd done died and all, and I was in a great big wind tunnel and I was floating and in the tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel, you heard people talk about the light of the end of the tunnel. And the more I got to the end of the tunnel, the brighter the light got. And when I went to go out of the end of the tunnel, I mean to tell you, it got bright. You couldn't even see. And that's where I come to in the hospital. I'll praise God for that time that he raised me from death, and now this time I could go from my chair, and I had to hook up my hose and all just to get to the bathroom. That's all the strength I had, and I figured I was pretty well going. And so we went down to the VA. Andy there helps me all the time. I want God to bless him. And went down there, and they put a thing in my hair and all. And they started giving me these shots. Well, every time me and Andy would go down, I had to be in the wheelchair. And then when they gave me the shot and all, I started to begin to walk and all.
Got some momentum.
Me and Andy went in to see the doctor, and whenever she saw me standing on my feet, she opened up her hand. She said, I saw everything now. God done her again.
Amen. God has raised that man from the dead more times than we know. Spiritually, physically, hallelujah. They help was holding his heart in his hand, and they take it out to do surgery, and they say, we cannot get his heart started. Call his family. We called his family, but we started to pray. And that heart started to beat, and they put it back in his chest, and that was years ago. And when they counted him out with cancer, and he couldn't walk to the bathroom, he walked in here to church this Sunday. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. You can sit on the edge and die if you want to, or you can get up and possess all that God has promised you and God has provided for you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him some praise and thanks this morning as Beth sings. If you have a need this morning and you want us to agree with you in prayer, we'd be glad to do that as well. And go ahead and thank you for your miracle. Amen.